Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-2. Oh, I'm sorry, we have a brand new number, folks. I forgot. The good folks at Blog Talk Radio have decided to change our number to 563-999-3065. 563-999-3065, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, we woke up the other morning to find out that Brock Lesnar has apparently been reinstated into the WWE active roster page. And many of you might be asking, why is that big news? Well, he was taken off, and the reason given was the Vince McMahon scandal. From what we were told, there was some kind of involvement on the part of Brock Lesnar in regards to this woman who was accusing Vince McMahon of sexual improprieties, in which Vince McMahon is being currently investigated over and has stepped down from the WWE over. And at the time, we questioned it, and we said, well, what is the impropriety? Brock Lesnar, apparently, from what we're being told, Vince McMahon and his relationship with this particular woman had gotten into a stage where he and she, apparently, now I don't know, willingly or unwillingly, depends on who you want to listen to, would sleep with other people, including wrestlers. And he had put out the feelers of Brock Lesnar possibly having a tryst with this person after an event that was going to take place. And Brock Lesnar, I guess by email or whatever, had said that it's possible or yes or maybe or whatever, and then decided against it for whatever reason, whether it was travel, whether he didn't feel like it, whether he had a funny feeling it was going to backfire on him, whatever it happened to be, he didn't do it. And we said, well, I don't understand. If Vince McMahon approached the guy with an idea that I have a current girlfriend, and this girlfriend and I are swingers, and part of our whatever is that we sleep with other people, and we were making an inroad to whether you would be interested in sleeping with her. He's an adult. She's an adult. If he said, oh, well, okay. That's not a crime. That's not a crime. It would be a crime if Vince McMahon said, she doesn't really want to do it, but I'm making her do it. And would you go along with me and help me make her do it? Then that would be a crime. If Vince McMahon said, she's into it, and are you interested? That's a personal relationship. So we wondered, what the hell is Brock Lesnar being punished for? It doesn't make any sense. But here's what it took, folks. If you want the God's honest truth, here's what it took. It took Brock Lesnar saying, maybe I'm just going to warm up and do one more UFC match. Maybe I'm going to accept a huge boatload of money. Go into deep training and do one more UFC match and collect an enormous payday. And then maybe retire. Or maybe it took the fact that Tony Khan was not too quiet about possibly considering throwing huge money at him. You know, Tony Khan, who just gave Okada $4 million a year. And the minute the WWE hears this, oh, you go to the page and there's Brock Lesnar. He's back. Now, what implications does this have for the possible case? Well, probably none as it relates to Vince McMahon. But it does shoot down one theory, And that theory is whoever examined these texts back and forth between Vince McMahon and Brock Lesnar must have come to the conclusion that whether it was true or untrue, Brock Lesnar was under the impression that this was a very consensual offer that was being made. And in no way, shape, or form, agreed in any way, shape, or form, or at any time, to do something that he thought was non-consensual. That's what that means. Now, here's the ramifications it could have. Lesnar, who I don't know how smart Brock Lesnar is, but if Brock Lesnar was clever, I know what I would have done if I was in Brock Lesnar's situation and Vince McMahon said that. I would have said, give me your number. Give me your email address. And then I would have checked with her. You're good with this? Is this something you want to do? If he did that and she said yes, her case is in big trouble. Big trouble. I have no evidence that that happened. I'm just saying that rationally you would think that perhaps Brock Lesnar double-checked. And if Brock Lesnar double-checked and in any way, shape, or form contacted this woman by phone even, where he can say my word against her word, but still, or text message or email, and she said, yes, this is a consensual thing, yes, I'm into it, she's got a problem. She's got a big problem. So this will be very interesting, Mike, in the coming weeks to see what happens. But obviously Brock Lesnar has passed the test because he's back on the pages as a current roster member.
Apparently, yes, and that's the thing. And, you know, TKO, who currently owns, and is it Anthem? No, it's not Anthem. TKO, who owns both companies, say, okay, we cannot allow Brock Lesnar to do this, you know, to possibly be signed and wooed by, you know, AEW, by another billionaire, basically, by a billionaire. Our problems with Tony Khan. The show has its problems with Tony Khan, but you can't fault Tony Khan for trying to sign Brock Lesnar. That you cannot fault him, you know. So then there's that. And the other person that we haven't heard from in this matter is Brock Lesnar's wife, Sable.
Right. Yeah, that could be an issue. But that's a personal issue. That's not going to affect his livelihood. The only thing I will say about saying, well, you can't blame Tony Khan is this. Tony Khan has represented himself as Hulk Hogan will never walk into this building because he said the N-word in private. So-and-so will never walk into this building because they had a charge of sexual harassment. Well, so did Brock Lesnar. So if you're telling me you were more than willing to sign Brock Lesnar, even when that was swirling around his head, then you're a hypocrite because you said you would never do that. You said you were going to take the moral high road in all cases. Well, the WWE literally took him off their current roster page before he was even cleared. And if you were negotiating with him, you were willing to sign him before he was cleared. What happens if he was found completely guilty? What happens if they found out, yeah, he had conspired with Vince McMahon to keep this woman against her will or make her do something against her will? You're going to have him under a 2-year contract or a 1-year contract, Tony? So, yeah, Mike, there is a little bit of controversy in that because this is something that Tony Khan had said, oh, I vet all my wrestlers to make sure nothing like this happens because if it did, we don't want them here. Well, he was actively seeking a guy who was under investigation.
Right, and I get that, but I'm just strictly speaking on the fact that if Brock Lesnar was not under contract and not under investigation, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that Tony Khan would go after him and pay him that. I can't remember what the last WWE contract for was what, like $10 or $12 million a year. Or whatever it was for Brock Lesnar, he'd pay him $15-20 million to get Brock Lesnar. You know, that's my only point. If everything was even, and all we're talking about is the money, if everything was even. Now, everything's not even.
No, and also, you know, once again, I don't know how that would have been taken by some of the AEW guys or even some of the AEW fans. I don't know. I'm very confused with AEW right now because they send a lot of mixed signals. We were told originally this was going to be an alternative to WWE in which there was going to be a central focus on independent stars, people who are underused, people who the WWE didn't really know how to use or didn't appreciate, and they were going to be given a better chance to ply their trade and show the world what they could do. Then, very quickly, it ended up being Chris Jericho. He wasn't underrated. Champion over there. Dean Ambrose, he wasn't underrated. He was a champion over there. Edge, Matt Hardy, all these people, and you're like, well, these are not underrated people. These are not people the WWE did not properly use. These are people who the WWE established as major stars. So right away there became a problem there where you're saying, well, that's not what Tony Khan's doing at all. He's basically just borrowing pre-established talent or paying for pre-established talent that he doesn't have to get over himself because they're already over by virtue of their WWE careers. So right away that became a point of contention. When you had Cody Rhodes, yeah, that was an underutilized star. Absolutely. And a couple of others. But it quickly escalated into just buying pre-established talent who was not only champions, but used very well. Brock Lesnar would have considered another one of those guys. They would have said, well, look, this is a guy who the WWE mollycoddled for how long? He was their guy, their big guy. It would be very close to signing John Cena. You know what I mean? So how in the world could you ever justify that and with a straight face say we're trying to give underutilized talent and more unestablished talent a break when you're sitting them in catering so that guys like that could take, you know, full control? It's silly. It's not what AEW has become. AEW has changed now. And AEW has become, we can take the leftovers of the WWE and try to use their name recognition to make our federation big time. And they're finding out it's not so easy because it's not really an alternative to WWE if all you do is hire WWE guys. So I don't know how that would have set if Brock Lesnar came back, Mike. It may have left a bad taste in the mouth of AEW fans, or it may have been the final nail in the coffin of AEW fans saying, here we go with WWE Lite all over again.
Yeah, and that's the thing. But like I said, we're strictly talking about what would have happened if, you know, everything was even and Brock Lesnar did not have this thing hanging, kind of, I don't want to say hanging over his head, which basically he doesn't anymore, I don't think. If TKO is actually thinking about hiring him back, right? So,
right.
So if that's the case, then fine. Everything's even now. And yeah, you can look at it from the talent standpoint, sure, you know, there'll be another guy coming in, another name guy. I mean, basically what they were doing in AEW was basically what mid-1990s WCW was doing when they brought in Hall and Nash and Hogan and Savage and Beefcake and all the rest of them, right?
Yes.
So go ahead.
Yeah, kind of interesting to see how this is going to play out because, okay, you're going to bring in a guy like Okada. That I don't know, giving him that kind of money I think is a major mistake, and I don't think you're going to get a great return on your investment for it. He's not going to be a ratings booster or anything like that. However, you are sticking to your, we are going to give people you may not have seen in America, wrestlers who you are going to end up seeing the talent of on a wider scale. That makes sense. That would make sense. However, again, you did CM Punk, John Moxley, Chris Jericho, the Hardys, Rusev. It's just one after the other after the other. And none of these guys, by the way, were Edge. None of these guys were underutilized. None of these guys were underexposed. I mean, you could argue that as good as Okada is to American audiences, probably underexposed, right? There's probably a lot of people don't know him, even Will Ospreay. Even Will Ospreay. So, yeah, you are bringing that. That's correct. That's what I thought AEW was going to be. But, you know, it's kind of devolved into this weird sort of hybrid thing where they do that sometimes, but then they bring over, you know, WWE talent. You really want to see Brock Lesnar? Listen, Brock, you think Brock Lesnar's going over there and lose to anybody? Not happening. Brock Lesnar was willing to lose in his WWE career after mucho pushes and beating everybody, including The Undertaker at WrestleMania, for Vince McMahon, because he liked Vince McMahon. I don't know if he's going to be a Tony Khan type guy, okay? I don't see Brock Lesnar being a hugger. I don't see Brock Lesnar going in there and hugging Tony Khan while Tony Khan looks lovingly at Brock Lesnar like he's the new toy in the toy box. I don't see that. So I don't know if it was ever even serious. Now, on Brock Lesnar's part, smart move, because Brock Lesnar's saying, okay, well, the WWE doesn't want to have any faith in me. You know, I got Dana White saying, I'll throw you a boatload full of money if you think you got one more fight in you. I got Tony Khan saying he might be willing to give me a whole bunch of money. I'm not exactly desperate, so you better make up your mind quick. And I think maybe the powers that be said, let's make up our mind quick. Now, does this mean things are going to change for WrestleMania? I don't think so, but I don't know. It's absolutely possible. Now that you have Brock Lesnar back on that page, is it too late to have him come in there and challenge Gunther? No, it's not. I know you have this thing going where we're going to decide who's going to fight Gunther at WrestleMania. It means nothing. Because if Brock Lesnar storms in there and throws everybody around and whatever, it's going to be a big deal, and that's the way it's going to be. And is that going to be a bigger match than Chad Gable versus Gunther? Yes. Is that going to be a bigger match than Sami Zayn versus Gunther? Yes. Absolutely. Now, I know a lot of Sami Zayn fans and a lot of fans in general are going to say, oh, but it ain't going to be as good a match. Well, probably not. Probably not. But it's going to feel like a more important match, Mike, if they do insert him into it.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. Now, I mean, the other thing that they can do is they not only throw around those guys, but come into a match, say with Chad Gable and Otis versus the other two guys in Imperium, and throw those other two guys around as well. You know, and then have, you know, Gunther say, you want to throw them around? Try throwing me around. You know, that type of thing. Now, I mean, look, we've seen, if Gunther's going to lay him in there like he did, if he's going to wrestle the same type of match against Brock Lesnar and he wrestled, say, against Sheamus or against Drew McIntyre, that's going to be a good match with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. Listen, there's a lot you could do with Brock Lesnar. There's no question about it. If he's going to be a part of WrestleMania, and my assumption is that he will be, or they wouldn't have put him back on the page, well, what do you do with him? There is a lot of things you could do. But I think the Gunther thing makes the most sense. I don't know how you're going to get around it now that you've said we're going to have this, whatever, to decide who's going to be taking him on at WrestleMania. I don't know how you get around that. An injury. One of the guys can't compete. take out Bronson Reed. You know, no one thinks he's going to win anyway. Take him out. But this could be a big deal. And again, it could mean nothing for the case against Vince McMahon, or it could mean something important. It could mean nothing in the sense that Brock Lesnar's emails or texts to Vince McMahon were read, and they said Brock Lesnar was an unaware person who did nothing wrong except agree to hook up with a woman he thought was perfectly willing to have sex with him, which is not a crime. Or it could show that Brock Lesnar had communications with this woman who told him it was perfectly okay. That one would be a big blow to her case. Because if that woman texted, emailed, called, whatever, Brock Lesnar, in any way, shape, or form, and indicated to him that she was cool with this, there goes a lot of this woman's case that she's been forced to do these things, Mike.
Absolutely. And look, if Vince McMahon said, look, I've talked with Brock Lesnar, you know, he's willing to do this, but I'd suggest you talk with him as well. And she texts him or calls him and says, are you fine with it? Whatever, you know, then she's in trouble. It's like what we're seeing happen with the Fannie Willis deal when they bring out the text. Oh, I don't remember this. Well, here's all these texts you've sent. Disprove those texts. You know, there's that.
No question. So this could be very interesting. I will keep a close eye on this because it could have ramifications for both WrestleMania and it could have ramifications for this Vince McMahon case. Because if you disprove one thing she says, I know a lot of people are going to say, okay, well, big deal. Maybe she did want to have a relationship with Brock Lesnar. Doesn't mean she consented to anything else. No, you're right. But if she was saying all of this was non-consensual, and you can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that this particular thing she was absolutely consensual about, it's going to cast doubt on everything else she said. At least if I was the judge, I'd say, well, but you said everything. All this was non-consensual. Here's a text saying just the exact opposite. So how am I supposed to believe the rest? So, yes, it could have ramifications on it. Absolutely 100% could. Let's stay with AEW a minute because Sammy Guevara has been suspended. And this is from the incident involving himself and Jeff Hardy where he did his top rope move there and came down on Jeff Hardy's face. Totally over-rotated the move. Now, here's the deal. Not being suspended because he blew the move, because you can blame him if you want. I know a lot of people are being really hard on Sammy Guevara, saying if you can't do the goddamn move, don't do it. But he has done it. He's done it 1,000 times the right way. It happens once in a while. Once in a while, you're going to blow a move. I mean, I'm sorry. It's going to happen to everybody. I don't care how good you are. If you do a high-risk move, you're going to blow it. How many times did, well, not too often, but how many times did, Puck now, used to be in the WWE, do the red arrow, and every single time it was perfectly great. But there was one time when he hit Bo Dallas, remember? Neville. And Bo Dallas had said, well, yeah, he really clobbered me. But I knew it was an accident. No big deal. It's going to happen. He's being suspended because there's a protocol in AEW that says there's a presumed, if you blow a move like that, and presumably it could be an issue where you're concussed, certainly coming down with your knees in somebody's head is a good chance of being concussed, then it's up to you to end the match immediately right there, not go on with the match. Sammy Guevara went on with the match long enough to hit his finisher. And for that, he was suspended. And as you've seen, Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy were very upset with him and gave him the finger and all kinds of stuff. We all saw that. Here's my problem with this. How come in every other combat sport, and I know the answer is probably going to be because it's real, it's not predetermined. I get that. But how come in every other combat sport, it's not up to the competitor to decide if to end the match or not, if someone's hurt? It's up to the referee. So you had a qualified referee in that ring. You certainly saw what happened if you're a qualified referee, and you certainly knew what the protocol was. And I would assume that your job as that referee is to tell Sammy Guevara, end it now, as per protocol. If you didn't do that, how the hell do you want Sammy Guevara to just randomly say, well, I'm ending it now, referee. I know this isn't the ending of the match, but just count. So you're going to have to prove to me. That referee is going to have to come forward and say, I told Sammy Guevara to end the match immediately, and he didn't. Instead, he went for his finish. If you can show that to me, or that referee says that, then I'll believe that referee, and Sammy Guevara absolutely should be suspended. But if that referee says, well, I was unsure, I was waiting for Guevara to end the match as per protocol because I didn't think I had to say anything, well, that's absurd. That would be the referee's responsibility. Every match I ever wrestled, the referee was given the power to tell us to end the match if he thought someone was hurt. Sometimes we can't judge it. Is it possible the referee gets it wrong and you actually mark out the referee? Yeah. Yeah, but you're erring on the side of caution. But you can't have your opponent do it because the referee's not even in on it. So the referee's like, what's happening? This isn't the ending I was told. What are you doing? It has to be the referee. It can't be the competitor. If the competitor has to tell the referee, I think I heard him, I'm going to end the match, what the fuck is a referee there for? What kind of training are you giving them? That is not the responsibility of a worker. I'm sorry, it's not. A worker can tell the referee if he thinks the referee didn't see it, if it happened outside the ring, if they're fighting in the crowd, someplace where the referee isn't, then yes, of course, the worker then tells the referee. But when you're right there and you clearly saw it happen, I'm sorry, Mike. I think that's the referee's call, and I don't see why Sammy Guevara, unless he refused the referee's orders to end the match immediately, I don't see why Sammy Guevara is suspended for this.
I don't see why he's suspended either. I'll put it to you another way. When Seth Rollins fought Cena, right, and he did what he did and basically broke Cena's nose, right, did Cena,
yeah.
Who apparently was in control of that match? It was probably the referee, and the referee probably asked Cena if he wanted to stop, and Cena said no. That's the way things should work. That's the way the referee's job is to help make these matches go as clean as possible. Well, mistake-free as possible, right? You know? And that what Seth Rollins did was obviously a mistake, right? In how he tried to apply that knee lift to the knee to the face to John Cena. That was an obvious mistake on Seth Rollins' part.
Yep.
But John Cena didn't hold it against him, and obviously the referee said, as Cena, are you all right? Cena said yes. They continued the match. It went to the finish. We got whatever finish it was at the time. And that's like I said, that's the way things are supposed to work. If this referee is that incompetent, why is he or she even a referee?
And this isn't the first time it's happened, Mike, in AEW. If you remember the incident with Jon Moxley, where literally he was concussed and took not one but two more finishers while the referee's just sitting there with his finger in his nose, We called into question that and said, why did the referee not say something instantly? Why did the referee allow this? What could have been much, much worse? So this is calling into question how I don't doubt the professionalism of the referees you've hired. I don't think you hired people off the street that's never refereed a match. I don't believe that. What I think has happened is these referees are unsure about your protocols. These referees are unsure or nervous about, if I end the match and I wasn't supposed to, I'm going to get fired. So I'm not going to do it. If I tell these wrestlers something and they complain about me, I'm going to get fired, so I'm not going to do it. Tony Khan needs to sit down with his workers and the referees and say the following. Even if the referee is in error, even if the referee is 1,000% wrong, if that referee calls for the end of a match, you end the match immediately. If later on it turns out that referee is wrong, we erred on the side of caution. There's going to be no punishment for that referee. The referee has to control this. That's one of the prime parts of his job. And if they're afraid of backlash from the wrestlers, from management, or possibly losing their job over a wrong call or being mistaken, they're going to err on the side of their job, not on the side of caution, and we don't want that. Therefore, that's what this meeting is for. If you're not hurt at all, but the referee thinks you are, and he calls for the end of that match, you end the match. Period. No questions asked, no arguments, and if you don't, then you guys are going to face some kind of fines or punishment. Now, if it turns out the referee is wrong, he's not going to face, or she, fines or punishment because they erred on the side of caution, which is our protocol here. That's all you need to say, Mike. It's not hard, and I don't know why Tony Khan hasn't done that.
Obviously, again, we talk about Tony Khan all the time, and you know, even when we have our other friends here, Todd and Mr. Damage, or the other guys, we talk about how he can run the tightest of ships, even without Vince McMahon. Under Triple, it's sort of a tight ship under Triple H, and now currently The Rock. It's sort of a tight ship over there. You look at the rest of the Japanese, All Japan and New Japan. They run a tight ship. I mean, now if it's this particular referee in this match, fine. But you have other more experienced guys, including Io Sky's sister, who's a referee, who's a former wrestler who knows how to converse with referees and stuff, because she was a wrestler and she's had to do that. So if it's this particular referee that made the mistake, this is a sort of a big match for them, and you got to put the most experienced guys, the most experienced referees, in that type of a match. That's a mistake. If that's the case, that's a mistake by Tony Khan.
Absolutely correct. Now, Jeff Hardy's reaction, or Matt Hardy's reaction, I should say, because Jeff was a little out of it. Matt Hardy's reaction is not the reaction of a guy who just saw Sammy Guevara screw up a move accidentally and hurt someone, because you've seen that a million times. Matt Hardy's done it himself. Matt Hardy's reaction indicated to me that he felt that Sammy Guevara should have known better than to pick up Jeff Hardy to do his finisher. And I want to know what that was based on. Is it based on you should have just known because you had to know that you hit him? Certainly that is true. Sammy Guevara had to know that he hit Jeff Hardy in the face with his knee. He had to know it. There's no way you do that move, hit somebody with that force, and you don't know it. You definitely knew it. However, Did he hear the referee say end it and Sammy Guevara still picked him up for the finisher? Thinking, well, ending it means let me give him my finisher. Let me go home right now. Sometimes that's the truth, okay? Sometimes if a referee tells you to go home, they mean give me your finisher and go right now. Sometimes a referee will say that if you're running out of time. Sometimes a referee will say that if they get a word in their earpiece that, they want to shorten the match. He'll tell the workers, go home. And that means go to the finish immediately. And if the finish is your finishing maneuver, that's what you do. But there's a separate one for end the match immediately, meaning no more physical contact. So that's what I want to know. I want to know, did Matt Hardy hear that referee instruct Sammy Guevara to immediately end the match, not go home, immediately end the match? If he did, and Sammy Guevara picked him up for a finisher, Sammy Guevara's wrong. And proves he's unsafe. If that's not the case, and he only heard him say go home, Sammy Guevara might have thought, okay, well, we're just going to end the match right now for any number of reasons, one of which could be I just hit him with a move, but the second could be that we're running out of time or whatever, let me just do my finisher and get out of here. But I still say the referee has to be the one to control that decision, and there has to be two very separate commands. The go-home command is go to the finish that was planned. The end the match immediately is leave them there. Don't touch them. So in other words, if I'm going to end the match with my finisher, which at the time was a top rope senton, and the referee says, go home, I'm going to put the guy in position for it, get up there and do it, even if it's 3 minutes early. If that referee said, end the match, I'm not touching that guy. I know something happened that I didn't know, and I'm just covering him for the pin. That's all I'm doing. You have to have those two separate commands, Mike, and I want to know which one Matt Hardy heard, if any.
Yeah, that's the thing. I want to know which one he heard. If he heard, go home, fine. If he heard in the match, now, granted, there's several ways to give the quick ending to the match. If Matt Hardy, we know Jeff Hardy was out of it, right? If Matt Hardy was hurt or something, then what the referee should have done is throw up the X sign and say, there's no more match. This is over. This is done.
Yep.
If that's the case. Now, to my knowledge, that's not the case. So those other two scenarios you give, look, this was what, a knee to the face, right? That
knee to the face.
So basically what it was is kind of a go to sleep, right? It's the same.
Well, he gave him the go to sleep as the finisher, yeah, but it was a top rope move where he came down with his knee across his face. Then, I guess, ending the match, he gave him basically a go to sleep type move. But what you've mentioned with the X, that's a third one. That's a third one that the referee should know. So you got three. You've got one, go home, meaning go to the finish of the match that you planned immediately. Second one is a signal, whatever it happens to be called, to the wrestler, end it immediately, no more physical contact. That means just lay on him for the pin. Unless you want to do something else like hit the referee or something to disqualify. Whatever it happens to be. We saw that happen with The Miz, right? When Shane McMahon blew his quad out or whatever it was. And then the third one is throwing up the X sign. Throwing up the X sign means the match is over completely, ring the bell, send in a doctor. I don't fault the referee for not throwing that up because I don't think he thought that it was that severe of an injury. Jeff Hardy was not knocked unconscious that I could see. So I think he just figured that move is a possible move that went – what I just saw could possibly be a move that would concuss you. If, in fact, Jeff Hardy is concussed by this, he shouldn't be touched anymore. So I'm not throwing up the X because I don't think he's injured necessarily, but I think he's concussed. So that should have been the end of the match immediately one. So there's actually three different ones. But in AEW, it seems like the referees are afraid of the wrestlers, and this is a very, very bad thing. It should be the opposite. Because let me tell you something, and I've talked to people who work for WWE. If you're a wrestler, you better be the goddamn Undertaker or maybe Roman Reigns if you're going to argue with a referee for real. Because if you're anybody else short of that status and you come down on a referee for real or question his judgment, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. WWE did not like that, and they do not play that game. Referee is in control, period. You don't question them. You don't second guess them. You don't yell at them backstage. You don't bully them. They are the man in charge, and you better be afraid of them. Because if you really do try to usurp their authority or bully them or try to make them feel uncomfortable about having to make a decision, like, your ass is on the line. That's the way it has to be. A referee has no real function in a match that already has a predetermined outcome. The referee's there to tell the wrestler certain things, to keep the pacing, to make sure the match ends on time, to remind the wrestlers if they lose their spot, to make sure nobody's injured. He has a million functions. One of them isn't to call a fair match down the middle because he already knows what's going to happen. So a referee for a wrestling match is very different than a referee for a boxing match or a UFC fight. Very, very different. But the one thing they should have in common is the ability to stop that fight instantly without question. How many times have you seen a UFC fight where a guy isn't knocked out and they stop the match? And the guy's literally screaming at the referee, "What are you talking about? I'm all right. I can go on." The referee's like, "No. Absolutely not." Because in that referee's judgment, he saw something that he thought, if this continues, this guy's risking injury or concussion or something major. That's a referee's judgment call. And in the heat of the moment, in a real match, arguing with the referee is not going to get that guy in trouble. But I can guarantee you that if he went backstage and said something to that referee, he's in trouble. The referee's judgment has to be final, even if it's in a predetermined outcome. Tony Khan needs to get the referees together with the workers and get this settled before someone gets killed or suffers brain damage or permanent disability of some kind. Because if this continues, it's going to happen. So what we need to find out is, what did Sammy Guevara know? If the answer is, "I knew I hit him. I knew it didn't feel good. I knew I blew the move, and that's why I instantly went for my finish. Referee didn't say anything." Then Sammy Guevara did what anybody would do. If Sammy Guevara says, "I knew I hit him," and the referee said, "Go home," I did go home. I did my finisher. That was supposed to be the end of the match. I did it. But if that referee said, whatever the code word is in AEW, whether it's end the match or whatever signal, and then he picked him up, that's Sammy Guevara's fault. And from Matt Hardy's reaction, and Matt Hardy didn't join wrestling yesterday. So I have to assume that Matt Hardy, Mike, saw something, heard something, that made him feel that it's Sammy Guevara's fault and not the referee's, which I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
We'll have to wait and see. And, I mean, to this point, Matt Hardy has been quiet. I mean, we don't know. He hadn't said a word, Matt Hardy. So until he says something, all we're talking about here is conjecture and hearsay. You know, until
the funny part about that, Mike, is he did say something. He released a short statement, but just as you'd expect from Matt Hardy, he didn't throw anybody under the bus. He just said, when they asked him about Sammy Guevara's suspension, he said, I wasn't aware of it. You know, I don't really know anything about it. It's news to me. You know, I guess it is what it is. That's all he said. And nobody pressed him on, do you think it's justified? What did you hear? Nobody's pressing him on it. But that's something that Tony Khan should definitely take under consideration, because we're taking a look at it from a fan's point of view, and we're saying either Sammy Guevara was unfairly targeted for a suspension, or your referees are either incompetent or deathly afraid to control the match, and neither one is any good, Mike.
Right, and that's the thing. And again, I don't know, other than he's got a sister, all right, who is there as a referee. I don't know if they don't have any of the Brian Hebners and Earl Hebners, guys who have been referees for, God, decades, you know, that can lead these referees, that know what things to do in a match and know how to run a match, right? Even if it is a WWE style match, I don't care. They have the experience. Even for God's sakes, if you want to bring in, say, Teddy Long, who's been a referee as a consultant to the referees, do that, you know?
Well, they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to do something because this isn't working. And, again, if Sammy Guevara had went on 3 minutes into this match, then I would have said, well, Sammy Guevara's an idiot, because he had to know he hurt Jeff Hardy, and he should have just ended it. But he did end it. So, obviously, he knew. I blew the move. I hurt Jeff Hardy. Let me end this. Even if the referee didn't say go home. That's what I want to know. Did the referee say anything, or did Sammy end it on his own because he knew I just blew this move and I hurt him? If that's the case, if what I just said is the case, I don't think Sammy Guevara is to blame. He did what any other wrestler would do. Second off, if the referee told him to go home and that was the finish of the match, Sammy Guevara did what any other wrestler would do, and I don't think he's to blame for it. If the referee told him to end it, and he picked him up for a finisher, he's an idiot. He's a complete idiot. That's what we need to find out. This is extraordinarily important. Extraordinarily important. Because you're going to have these type of things. When you have the more physical matches, and AEW has more physical matches, let's just be honest, you're going to run into this more. This is not the last time it's going to happen. It's probably going to happen in the relatively near future. And those workers need to know that those referees are fully empowered to do what's in the best interest of the wrestler in question, regardless of what the other wrestler thinks. Simple as that. I'm not sure these wrestlers, these referees need any more training. I think they need to know that they're the ultimate authority. Because Tony Khan has this, well, the workers kind of run the joint thing. No, no, no. In that match, that referee controls that match. Let me give you an example. If they told me you're winning this match with your finisher, and I wasn't in a federation where there was any communication with anybody backstage through earpieces or anything. I wasn't in a big enough federation for that. But let's just say that that referee was told somehow that I didn't know, let's say I was, and they said, we changed our mind. We need Marcus to lose this match. And the referee says to me, you're losing with a small package. Change plan. I don't get to argue that in the middle of the ring. I do it, and I go backstage and say, what the actual F? What happened out there? But the referee is the ultimate authority to that. If I miss the guy with the move, and the referee says, end it. He's hurt. And I know he's not hurt. I still have to end that match because the referee told me to. At the end of the day, you have to give that referee the respect to say, this is the man who controls it. And whatever he says goes, we do not question it. Backstage, we can question it, not by getting in the referee's face, by going to the powers that be and say, what happened? The referee's blowing the call out there. Now, if a referee ends up two or three matches where he calls a match early because somebody's hurt and the guy's like, I was never hurt, the guy never touched me, then you got a problem with the referee. And you're going to have to, you know, replace the referee or train the referee or something. But until that happens, Mike, the referee has to be the ultimate judge in that ring.
Absolutely. And you better believe that we talked about it earlier. The possibility of a Brock Lesnar-Gunther match. You better believe that that match, those two guys are going to understand, even though he's a veteran, Brock Lesnar is going to understand that that referee is going to be the ultimate guy in the ring. No matter who's going to win the match or not, that referee is going to be the ultimate controller in the ring. Those two guys, Gunther and Brock Lesnar, are going to understand that. That's what we're talking about here. These people, maybe, to some extent, Moxley may or may not understand it or may understand it, but maybe the guy who was against them at the time didn't. But again, this is Guevara. Guevara's a younger guy. These referees. Again, you're right. Tony Khan needs to make the statement that the referee is the ultimate say in the ring.
Let me give you an example of this. And again, if you're doing a hardcore match like Moxley did, there's a little more leeway. But an injury is still an injury. But let me give you an example. I'll give you two examples. Both were in my match. I was doing a hardcore match, and I bladed. And between the blading and, I guess, getting tossed into some tables and things, I was bleeding far worse than they wanted me to. And even my opponent said, you're bleeding buckets. And the referee said, you're bleeding bad. Really bad. I said, throw me on this table. And there was a pool of blood when I got off it. A minute later, I said, throw me on the other one. And the pool was smaller. So I was able to communicate to the referee, it's coagulating. I'm all right. I'm not going to bleed out. It's only a head wound. It's getting smaller. I'm okay. That referee respected my opinion enough to say, okay, but he kept a good watch on it. And when he realized I was right, I'm starting to not bleed. It's starting to coagulate a bit and slow down. He let the match continue. Another match I had, we were doing a glass, almost like Darby Allin thing, except it was a glass table. And it wasn't from a top rope. It was a power bomb. I put the guy through the table as good as I could. He's supposed to tuck his arms in toward his stomach so that only his back hits the glass. Now, normally you'd kind of push your arms out to cushion your fall. He did that. And when he did, a shard of glass went right into his arm. And he had shards of glass in his arm. And instantaneously, the referee said, and I knew that meant don't even pick him up. Don't touch him. Don't move him. It's done. Now, it turns out it wasn't that bad. He needed a few stitches. He was willing to continue the match, but you can't. And it's all fine, and nobody was mad at the referee. We understood the situation that he's looking out for our best interest in both cases. Now, had I been bleeding that bad in a normal wrestling match, or that blood he knew for sure was not from me blading, but from an accidental injury, that referee, that same referee, would have ended that match instantly. He would not have let me continue. He would have not have told me, well, let me say, throw me over here and see if it's drying up. He would have said, no. That's a legit wound. The only reason that referee allowed me to continue is he knew I cut myself. So being a very good referee, he said, well, it's bleeding bad, but I know it's just from a minor, you know, box cutter cut up to the forehead. It's not an open gaping wound. So even though the blood is unusually heavy, maybe he's right. Maybe it's going to dry up. And it did. Had that been from an exposed turnbuckle, a shot in the ring with something that cut me, it would have ended immediately, and I would have had no say over it whatsoever, nor would I have wanted to. Right?
Absolutely. I'll put it to you another way. Think about this. Abdullah the Butcher, what was his one of his favorite weapons?
Fork.
A fork, right? And so he'd take that fork, and it'd stab you in the forehead, right? Now, a lot of times it didn't work. I mean, it took him multiple stabs to get you, but a lot of times maybe they were blading and he hits a freaking blade, or, you know, that type of thing, you know, that type of thing. That's and the whole thing about when you see Ric Flair or Dusty Rhodes and they talk about the Crimson Mass. Well, the way you get that is, yeah, you blade, but before the match or during the match or something, you take a doggone aspirin.
Oh, I always did that. I always did that about 40 minutes before the match. Took two. Take two aspirin. But again, the rules there are a little bit different. The referee knows there's going to be blood, but he knows the blood is going to be self-inflicted. See, that's why a hardcore referee has to be a little more lenient, but at the same time, he's got to judge if the injury has gotten worse or, you know, so that referee, when he saw me bleeding that heavily, had to make a decision. Is this just because he took the aspirin and his heart rate is up big and he went a little deeper or hit a little geyser there when he bladed? Or did his opponent do something that injured him further? And he realized, no, it can't be that, or I would have seen it. It's just from his blading, so I think everything's okay. Had that not been the case, had I not been supposed to blade in a match, and the referee knows, obviously, and he saw that much blood, it would have been over. Period, end of conversation. Instantaneously, no arguments, over. So that's what I mean. You have to have that referee be the ultimate judge in that ring. And he has to feel safe in making those decisions. If those referees in AEW are saying, oh, if I blow it, my job's on the line. If I blow it, so-and-so's going to be mad at me. Then you can't be a referee. You can't do your job properly. And you have to. So we'll see where that goes. Now, Matt Hardy in saying, it is what it is. That's about as close as you're going to get to Matt Hardy saying he deserved it. Because Matt Hardy's never going to say that. Matt Hardy's just not going to come out and say it. Excuse me. Matt Hardy's just not going to come out and say that. If he thought he didn't deserve it, Matt Hardy would have said, wow, that's kind of harsh because, you know, I realize fans think that he should have left him alone, but given the circumstances, no, he didn't say that. He said, well, it is what it is. That's as close to saying he deserved it as possible. So I'm going to assume, until I hear differently, that Sammy Guevara blew it. But I still say, ultimately, the referee has to be more forceful on this. Ultimately, the referee has to be this way. So we'll see what happens. By the way, Matt Hardy says his contract runs out this month. And when asked if he intends to re-sign with AEW, he said, well, we'll see. That's not a ringing endorsement. So I don't know, Mike. It'll be interesting to see what Matt Hardy's future is.
Right. And correct me if I'm wrong. I can't remember that when it happened, but when Mick Foley got his ear cut off, did that referee stop that match? I can't remember.
No. The referee did not stop that match. But, see, that's a very good point to bring up. The referee understood you're dealing with Mick Foley. See, that's another thing, too. It wasn't a concussion, and there was a different protocol back then anyway. They let wrestlers go probably when they shouldn't have. You're talking about the age of, wrestlers were getting slammed in the head with steel chairs for real, all kinds of stuff. And I think that the referee realized he tore his ear on the ropes. That's not something that's going to do anything major. I know it sounds ridiculous, but that's not something that's going to do anything major to you. It's not going to cause a brain hemorrhage. It's not going to cause you to die. It's not going to cause you to be permanently disabled, disfigured maybe, but not disabled. So to a referee, that would be the same thing as saying I got a couple of my teeth knocked out. They're not going to stop the match for that. They're not going to. They're not going to stop the match if, you dislocated your finger. They're not going to. The protocol is if there's a move that could potentially cause major damage internally or concussion-wise, you need to end the match. So if Finn Balor was to blow the stomp and hit somebody square in the stomach, and that referee saw them, instantaneously spit up blood, match has to end. Finn Balor can't pick him up for anything. Damian Priest can't scoop him up for a power slam. It's over. So that's how that works. So when they saw Mick Foley's ear, they knew it was kind of, it sounds ridiculous, but it's superficial. So given Mick Foley's reputation and the fact that he seemed willing to go and it was only superficial, they let it go. But they probably would have let go a lot more back then because the protocol was totally different. So the next thing we want to talk about is Paul Heyman being inducted into the Hall of Fame, and this has caused a lot of speculation and some controversy about who was going to induct him. Now, fans are saying, and rightfully so, and I agree with them, it almost has to be Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer and Paul Heyman developed almost this father-son relationship. Tommy Dreamer and Paul Heyman were considered ECW. I mean, that was it, right? And I can't imagine that the WWE is not aware of that. However, Bully Ray makes a very good point on his show, and I know it's self-aggrandizing when he says, I think it should be me. For the following reason. WWE doesn't like to bring in people from outside who work for a different federation to do something like this, and Tommy Dreamer works for a different federation. It's much safer to bring in somebody like Bully Ray to do it because he's not associated with a different federation. This is really going to be the litmus test to how WWE has changed. If Vince McMahon was still in charge, I can promise you it would not be Tommy Dreamer. Vince McMahon would not have someone from another federation come in to induct them into the Hall of Fame. No way. Not happening. No way. The only time that would happen is if the person was long retired from another federation. Tommy Dreamer's still active. However, powers that be may not feel that way. And we did see their champion in the Women's Royal Rumble. I know we've seen their champion before in the Women's Royal Rumble, but maybe there's enough of a working relationship here where they say we're going to make an exception. Now, Bully Ray also said they could always use Rob Van Dam, but Rob Van Dam's working for AEW. I think Tommy Dreamer has a better chance than Rob Van Dam. That obviously is Bully Ray. You could go one other way, and that's CM Punk. No matter how injured he is, I'm sure he's not so injured he can't walk up to the podium and say a few words. He's not crippled. And that would be the safest of all bets because CM Punk is under contract. And he was a Paul Heyman guy in the WWE. So this has caused a lot of controversy with fans saying if it's anybody else except Tommy Dreamer, it's bullshit. Well, I think CM Punk has a case to be made that it's not bullshit if he does it, but it is corporate mumbo jumbo. We don't want to acknowledge any other federation. The real choice is Tommy Dreamer. Absolutely, beyond any shadow of a doubt, Tommy Dreamer. If you don't go with that, then I think you got to go with CM Punk. You're not going to go with Rob Van Dam. He's associated with AEW. Bully Ray, come on. I mean, yeah, he was over there as Bubba Ray Dudley, but it wasn't the same. Taz would have been a choice, but he's associated with AEW. So, Mike, it's going to be very interesting to see who they decide.
Well, I mean, also, now that Vince is gone, Joey Styles, who's not associated with anybody either.
No, that's
true. You got that's another example. But yeah, CM Punk is there. Yeah, he's hurt, but what's going to stop him from going up to the, you know, thing, you know, and doing it, right? Hell, if you want to bring in somebody that's not CM Punk or any of the guys, bring in somebody like Beulah or somebody like whatever, you know, somebody like that can come in and do whatever. Oh, little Spike. Spike can come in and do it.
Yeah, I think they want somebody a little more high profile that the fans are going to recognize. There's going to be a lot of fans who probably don't know about Spike and don't know about Beulah that do know Dreamer, at least, to an extent, or Taz. Look, CM Punk's going to be the safe bet. The WWE could argue, and it's true, Paul Heyman's going into the WWE Hall of Fame. Who else but CM Punk? Well, there is one other person, and guess what? They just reinstated him, Brock Lesnar. Now, the reason I don't think it'll be Brock Lesnar, Mike, is I don't think I've ever heard Brock Lesnar say more than four words. I don't see him as being a speech guy who's going to talk about Paul Heyman's career. And I think if you're going to induct Paul Heyman, you're going to have to touch on the ECW days. And I just don't see Brock Lesnar being able to do that. CM Punk might be able to. At least he did work for the ECW WWE version. So it could be Brock, but that seems unlikely. Some people are saying, well, how about Roman? No. It can't be Roman. If you're really, put it this way, if this is all just bullshit and you're just putting Paul Heyman in kayfabe because, yeah, Paul Heyman's had a great career, but we got to keep kayfabe alive, then I guess it's got to be, you know, CM Punk or it's got to be Brock or it's got to be Roman. But if you really want to honor his career and you really want to talk about the things he accomplished, ECW is a big part of it. And that's where it started. And I would think it would almost have to be Dreamer, Mike.
It would almost have to be Dreamer, but if you can't get Dreamer, the list starts with Dreamer. But if you can't get Dreamer, Bully Ray, or CM Punk, Dreamer 1, Bully Ray 2, CM Punk 3. That's your list.
Yeah, I would say it's going to be really it's a weird thing. It's going to be really unusual to see where they go with this. Now, does Paul Heyman deserve it? Oh, absolutely, Paul Heyman deserves it. A lot of people are saying, I don't think this is a great choice. What are you talking about? Paul Heyman, not only, I mean, you want to start his career before ECW. Look at all the stuff he did when he was Paul E. Dangerously. Look at the people he worked with. Look at the success he had. Then he starts this offshoot Rebel Federation who brings a whole new style of wrestling to the business. And I would argue this. If it weren't for the fact that his particular style didn't suit television. ECW would have been the second biggest federation. Their fans were ferocious. They would travel. I personally did. I personally traveled 108 miles to Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania on a regular basis to watch ECW because it's the closest they came. Then I was lucky and they came to my backyard a few times where, you know, but that was at my insistence. I was talking to Stevie Richards. I was talking to some other people saying, why don't you come to my neck of the woods? We have a fairgrounds, a big building. It'll work. They contacted them. It did work for a couple of shows until they got a little out of hand and that fairgrounds didn't want them anymore. But for a while, I was going all the way up to Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, which was a haul for me. That's how adamant their fan base was. And their fan base was growing. The problem was when they got on a little bit bigger TV station, which was, I think, like a big, what I don't even know what it was, some country music station or something. All of a sudden came the restrictions. You can't do this. You can't do that. Well, then you can't be ECW. And mirror that with Paul Heyman's lack of being a consummate businessman and not really knowing how to manage money well. And that destroyed ECW. Otherwise, I think ECW would have rose to a height that probably eclipsed AEW, because I saw their fan base growing. When WWE took it over and changed it so much, they killed it. I remember going to my local Mid-Hudson Civic Center to watch an ECW, WWE ECW event, and watching the Sandman come out there, and literally, yeah, he had the kendo stick. He gave the guy a couple shots with it, and that was about the extent of the hardcore, and fans were like, this is bullshit. You've destroyed these guys. Sandman never wrestled like this. All these other ECW originals never wrestled like this. All of a sudden, they're making them behave, and we don't want them to behave. The secret to ECW was it was dangerous, and you clearly saw it was dangerous. As soon as that dried up, it was gone, but Paul Heyman introduced that. And there's elements of ECW that to this day still are prevalent in many federations. And to this day, when something hardcore happens, there are still chants of ECW. How many years later? He also has really mastered the idea of getting somebody over that can't really speak for themselves. And he's done it in such a way that it has elevated the careers of a couple of people who probably wouldn't have had that career elevation without it. So Paul Heyman does absolutely, Mike, deserve to be in it. The question just is, who's going to induct him?
Right. Who's going to induct him? Now, Mike, I have another question for the inductee. Without Vince McMahon, we know the animus between Vince McMahon and Shane Douglas, right? Because, you know, the whole thing with the Dean Douglas thing was bullshit and all that stuff. We saw what happened when they brought back Medusa or Alundra Blaze, right? Would they think about bringing back Shane Douglas?
That wouldn't be the worst choice in the world, but, you know, he didn't like Vince, but Vince is gone. I don't know. That's a good point, too. My gut tells me no. They probably wouldn't. I think they'd bow down to Tommy Dreamer before Shane Douglas. But maybe I'm wrong. I mean, we now have new owners. I don't know. I don't know where they're going to go with this. The new owners could very well say, hey, if Tommy Dreamer's off that night and whatever, absolutely, Tommy Dreamer. Just don't talk about your federation. Talk because Paul's not in it and you know, whatever. Talk about your ECW days. Talk about your WWE days. That's it. But you can't talk about, you know, your current federation. That's fair enough. But there's just this little voice inside my head that says they're going to go with CM Punk, which may not be the worst choice. He's articulate. He's going to go out there and talk a good game if you want him to. I mean, he's never met a microphone he doesn't like, so if you give CM Punk a microphone, he's gonna be good at it. And certainly there was a relationship there. I don't know how close it was. Certainly nowhere near close as Tommy Dreamer. But I think there would be something magic about Tommy Dreamer, because I remember going to the ECW events in Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, when Tommy Dreamer and, to a lesser extent, Bubba Ray Dudley and Taz would help carry in the merchandise, even. They'd bring in the merchandise. They were literally the heart and soul of the company, from not just in the ring, even out of the ring. Even when it came to stuff behind the scenes and merchandise and everything. So if he's going, I would like it to be an ECW original. I would settle for Bubba. I would settle for Taz, who was definitely his boy. If you really want the guy, it is Tommy Dreamer. Beyond any shadow of a doubt, it's Tommy Dreamer. So I'll be very interested to see how this goes. Very interested. Anyway, according to Bully Ray, the chances of that happening is not great. He just says if you look at it with blinders on from an ECW point of view, yes, Tommy Dreamer's the guy. But this is bigger than ECW, and a lot of people have to realize that you have two Hall of Famers who are pretty big stars, Rob Van Dam and the Dudleys. Maybe, but it ain't going to be Rob Van Dam, Bully Ray, because he's over there in AEW, and that definitely, I promise that's not happening. As far as whether it's Bully Ray or not, that's possible. I suppose that's possible. Anyway, down this week, had a very interesting segment that obviously ran too long because it got cut off. And that was where Cody Rhodes once again slapped The Rock. And we saw, obviously, that more was going to come out of it, but the TV time had expired. This is just poor use of the time allotted, and this is a problem. This is a problem when you give The Rock the microphone, because The Rock is such a big star, and now on top of being a big star, he's, you know, on the board of directors. He's going to do what he wants. He's going to do what he wants. And I think the most important thing that was said during that whole segment, Mike, and one that could affect The Rock's future in this company, is that he broke kayfabe and said, "I'm your boss. I sit on the board of directors. So technically, I'm your boss." When he said that, my thoughts of him screwing over Roman Reigns at WrestleMania and coming back to being a face kind of faded, because I said, I see what they're going to go for now. They're going to go for their favorite storyline, evil, power-hungry, authority figures, and we'll have to see how this works.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it works. I just wish they would have allowed him to do the whole, when they did the whole We the Ones thing. I just wish they would have allowed Cody Rhodes to do the whole thing about you the twos. I may be the twos, but you the ones, and flip him up. But maybe that would have cemented the whole Steve Austin thing. But that's just me spitballing something. Yeah. And that also tells me that for the time being, The Rock's schedule is pretty open. All right? He has no movies to speak of. And so he's going to be here a while. I mean, Cody still has a pretty long contract, right, with the WWE. So he's gonna be here a while. If this is gonna be a long term storyline, then fine, you know.
I would say what they've said is this. They said The Rock is scheduled for more than just this match. Now, that put up my spidey senses, and I said he's going to fight. He's going to end up fighting Roman. But after what I saw Friday, now I'm thinking, is it possible? And I know the fans are not going to want to hear this. Is it possible The Rock cost Cody Rhodes his match against Roman? Is it possible they're going to go in another direction? Is it remotely possible that Cody does not finish his story? And that pushes The Rock's authority figure, evil authority figure, even farther into the forefront and sets up an individual match that they had teased and The Rock had denied and said, no, you got to go with Seth Rollins against Roman and me. Anything is possible, Mike, but I think now it's less likely that The Rock turns back to face. Don't know.
Like I said, if The Rock's schedule, I'm not talking about just for this match. I'm talking about down the line, right? I haven't heard anything out of Hollywood about any movies that The Rock is doing or that is upcoming on his schedule. Maybe he might have another one of the Fast and Furious movies or whatever. Whatever it is that may or may not come out, but I haven't heard that yet. So if he has nothing on his Hollywood schedule except for maybe the Young Rock show that he's currently still doing, then you've got the ability to have him not just for WrestleMania but for 6, 8, 10 months, right? So that's the thing. Does he have anything in the foreseeable future on his Hollywood schedule that would potentially keep him away from the WWE? You know, and that's the thing.
Well, he doesn't that I know of, but you see, this is a clever thing. No one ever said that Dwayne Johnson isn't a smart man. Dwayne Johnson read the writing on the wall. I don't know how deep we want to get into outside the ring activities, but there was a lot of things that happened that started to sour people on Dwayne Johnson. Some of it having to do with the Hawaii relief fund situation and some other things that didn't turn out well. And there was a lot of negative press starting to hit him. And because of that, there was a lot of people who were backing off of his movie roles. Now enter his home base, WWE, where he can rebuild his character, reestablish himself as a star, reinterest fans in going to see anything that he does, and rejuvenate his movie career when he walks away. It's very smart. It's a very, very smart thing to do. Now people say, yeah, but he's a heel. Yeah, but look how the fans are loving that he's a heel. Wrestling has changed so much that it's almost unrecognizable from the days when I was a little kid watching it. Wrestling has changed to the point now where fans normally, if you were a heel, they wouldn't buy your T-shirt if you had one. You normally didn't. They wouldn't go to get an autograph from you. They certainly wouldn't want to see a movie you were in unless you were the bad guy in the movie. And that's why these wrestlers were very carefully protecting their image and saying, well, I can't do a movie. And John Cena forever said, I can't really turn heel. Because if I turn heel, how am I supposed to go do all these Make-A-Wish things? How am I supposed to do all the charity work? How am I supposed to be in a movie where I'm, you know, Mr. Good Guy? It's not benefiting my future to be a heel. Even though I'd like to be. Nowadays, doesn't matter, because if the fans like you as the heel, then they buy into you. They were booing The Rock out of the building when he was trying to be a face, saying, I'm going to take on Roman Reigns. As soon as he said, okay, I'm going to embrace the heel, And I'm going to start giving them the old rock banter about how everybody's a, you know, low life and blah, blah, blah. Fans popped. Dwayne Johnson knows that. He knows, oh, now the fans like me again. They wanted to heal me. They wanted this rock. And when the time is right, and he's going to walk away from it, which he will, and go back to movies, he'll probably flip. And he'll have rejuvenated his entire career, Mike. So it's a pretty smart move on his point.
It is a pretty smart move. I mean, look, there are certain people that we grew up with that could not be a heel today. You know, Rick Rude could not be a heel today. You know, because people would cheer him. You know, people would cheer Rick Rude at times. So that's the thing. You got now. Granted, you have when we were growing up, we had people like Skandar Akbar and the One Man Gang and Ted DiBiase and stuff like that. But particularly Skandar Akbar, who anybody in his group, Devastation Incorporated, in certain places in Louisiana, which is where I'm from, they couldn't get out of the building at times, you know, without at least being threatened, being stabbed or whatever, because they bought in, the fans bought into that heel persona so much at the time that they really hated them. They disliked them that much that they had to have protection to get out of the buildings at times. So
that's right. And people wouldn't go see a movie with them because they'd say, well, I don't like them. Why would I want to go waste my time seeing a movie with this person? I hate this person. Nowadays, wrestling fans are like, oh, it's fun to hate this person. And I like that, how well he plays the character. Wrestling fans have gotten so smart now that to the business that a good heel like The Miz. The Miz has been able to pull it off. The Miz has been a heel many times when he was a hero in the movie. Sometimes they'd flip them, but not always. Not always. And it still worked. So there you go. Now, an interesting thing is that Logan Paul has now said that for the pay-per-views or the premium live events, the WWE is actually going to have branding on their ring itself, the canvases, the mats. This would have never happened under Vince McMahon. He was totally against it. The idea had been brought up many times. He was okay with it, I think, on the skirts. Sometimes you'd see like Snickers or whatever on the ring skirts. Never okay with the branding on the mats. This is 100% UFC type stuff. You know, you see that all the time. Monster Energy drink or whatever it happened to be was on the UFC mats. Now we're going to get Prime Energy Drink. I don't know how I feel about it. From a business perspective, it's a smart move. You're going to get a lot of money. That's not free. That's a huge sponsorship. From a fan's point of view, I would have been better with it if it didn't involve directly the financial well-being of one of your workers, which is Logan Paul. It almost looks like a concession based upon, well, I'll do this, but, you know, I'm pushing for the sponsorship for my product. You know, it would have been like if they put JR's barbecue sauce on it when he was an announcer, and you'd be like, well, of course they did. If it was Snickers, if it was a big, you know, Doritos or Pizza Hut or whatever the hell, I would have said, well, you know, whatever. I think they're going to get second-guessed a little bit based on the fact that this is going to help to put money in Logan Paul's pocket, Mike.
I think so, too. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. When Slim Jims was a thing and Macho Man was doing the commercials, right?
Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't they have Slim Jims, like, on on the turnbuckles.
Yeah, they're okay with it.
Right. So, it's like you put your head into the turnbuckles and like you're eating the turnbuckles, you're eating Slim Jim, that type of thing. But yeah, they did that. And I mean, if you're gonna get, now granted, I get you, but I don't think they're gonna keep Logan Paul. I mean, yeah, it could be in his contract. I don't know, his energy drink on the thing, but then again, they could say, all right, we'll allow you to do it for your match, but we'll come back and we'll put KFC or Snickers or whatever other sponsor the WWE may or may not get on the thing. I mean, it's like if you were gonna have a match with Stone Cold Steve Austin, and you put his beer on the mat,
Yeah. See that? Yeah, that's another good example. I have mixed feelings. I don't see anything wrong with it from a business point of view. You're making money. Many people do it. Boxing does it. UFC does it. You name it. Pride. Everybody does it. I just think that being that this is the first one, it's going to look as though you're kissing Logan Paul's ass. That's what it's going to look like. And it would have been better if it was not the first one. It would have been better if Pizza Hut came first or Snickers or Slim Jim, or whatever the hell it happened to be. And then maybe a couple months down the road, it was Prime. Being Prime is the first one, Mike. It looks like it's pandering.
Right, and that's the thing. And if you think about it, I mean, look, I wouldn't argue with Slim Jim because, frankly, they still play the old Macho Man commercials. They still play those things, and he's been dead for years now. Got to be too morbid about it. And I know they have other sponsors. I know the WWE has other sponsors. I get that, Snickers and things of that nature. At one point they had Stacker 2 and whatever, and all that stuff, and it's like, okay, fine. Just come. Don't do this one first. Do this one 3 pay-per-views down the line. Not on this WrestleMania.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I wouldn't be at all. Yeah.
I agree with that, Mike. Then it wouldn't look like pandering. And by the way, I'm not trying to give it a free commercial, but Prime Energy Drink is really good. Okay, I actually bought some, and I was pleasantly surprised. It tastes a lot better than most energy drinks, and it does work, so he's got a good product. So I was having more of a problem, I guess. I had fans write me saying, oh, this is pandering, they're just kissing Logan Paul's ass. I think they were kissing his ass more when he used to come out with one in his hand. I kept saying to myself, he's getting a free commercial. That's bullshit. They didn't let Stone Cold Steve Austin, maybe they did once, let him come out with his beer, but they didn't let JR come out with his barbecue sauce. How come they're giving him a free commercial? Or they got his lackeys, jumping the fences with their Prime, dressed as a Prime energy drink can or something. And I was like, this is bullshit. I didn't like that. I hated that worse than this. This, at least, I know they're sponsoring them. That means money's changing hands. I doubt they paid anything for the other stuff. So I did hate that worse. So this is better out of the two. But it almost makes me feel like Logan Paul is only wrestling because he wants to promote Prime Energy Drink, and that's not what I want to see. I know that's not true, by the way. I'm not suggesting it's true. But from the outside, some fans could perceive it as, much like when a wrestler comes back and you say, oh, naturally, they're promoting their movie. So now they're going to come back and pretend that they're big wrestling fans and they're going to do a match and it's only to promote a movie. It almost feels, I could see where fans could take a look at this and say, it seems like Logan Paul is trying to just promote this product that he's got major stock in, investment in, and he figures the best way to do it is to show up and wrestle for a little while. I know that's not the case, Mike, but it can look that way.
Right. I mean, how many times has The Rock came back? How many times has, you know, Batista, who's kind of somewhat big in Hollywood right now. Now, right now, he's kind of slowed down because a lot of his roles, you know, that at there are rumors that he may be on his way back in for some sort of a match, all right? But that's not the point. The point is we know, we have a good feeling that Logan Paul absolutely loves this sport, you know, absolutely loves this business, as evidenced by the fact that every time he goes out there, you want to see the match. It doesn't matter if he's heel or face. You want to see the match because he's good at what he does, and he's only been doing this, what, 8 months maybe? So,
maybe.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of problems. What you said earlier about the dressed as a can and dropping the thing, I have a problem with that, like you said. This was the thing putting it on the skirt or putting it on the thing. Now I know nowadays they have the electronic thing where you can electronic skirt where you can or the LED things on the ring post where you can put multiple advertisements on that thing and change them each during the match. I wouldn't be at all opposed to them starting out that way. You know, Flash, Prime Energy Drink, then a minute or so later, Flash, Kentucky Fried Chicken, or Snickers, or XYZ ABC, right? You know, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
No, I wouldn't either. And, you know, I had a guy write me, say, hey, yeah, what about when they did the KFC match and it came out as Colonel Sanders and stuff? I didn't like that either. But here's the difference. I didn't like it because I said you shouldn't mix wrestling with that, where you literally come out as Colonel Sanders and a bucket of chicken or whatever. That was dumb. Right in the middle of a pay-per-view. I don't like that, no. But if, I don't know, one of the wrestlers said, well, I have a 25% interest in Kentucky Fried Chicken, that would have made it way worse. Because I would have said, well, naturally you're going to do it, of course. And that's bullshit. They did that strictly for profit. And I can't argue that they have the right to make a profit. I think they made a mistake, and I think it turned off a lot of fans, but I get it. Or when they go backstage and they have people eating Pizza Hut and they're like, oh, where's my pizza? And then it's a commercial, but it's like right in the middle of Raw for Pizza Hut. You know, I'm not thrilled with that either, but I get it. But if R-Truth had said, well, I'm doing Pizza Hut because I own controlling interest in Pizza Hut, I would have said, that's worse. So again, if you want to put Red Bull on it and nobody had any Red Bull, okay, you did. Prime Energy Drink, and then having Logan Paul, the very guy that has a large percentage of interest in it, coming out and literally holding one saying, this is my, you know, a sponsorship, and I'm going to, you know, my company and stuff. Ooh, I don't know, man. That's what makes it different, at least to me, Mike.
Yeah, it really does, and that's the thing. Now, you know, it is what it is with that, you know, I'm not in control of anything in the WWE or in TKO. This is coming down. If this is coming down from TKO, you know, from the powers that be, the board of directors of TKO, and the WWE is that doesn't want to do it, but the TKO says you got to do it, then you got to do it, right? If he yeah, made the deal not with WWE but with TKO, and TKO is saying, well, you got to do it, you got to do it.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. And TKO is going to make you see, this is the thing. You're going to get a much, much more commercialized WWE now. I knew it was going to happen. You know what the next thing's going to be? Certain wrestlers are going to have sponsorships on their trunk. Brock Lesnar wanted to do that years ago. And I think the WWE let him do it once. And then they said, no, 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 never again. This could happen, Mike, where individual wrestlers get sponsorships. They're going to say, if Logan Paul can bring out his Prime energy drink, how come I can't do it?
Right, and that's the thing. And think about it this way. How many years has, like, NASCAR been around or IndyCar been around? And what do you have on those cars and basically on the suits that the guys wear when they're driving?
Exactly. Sponsorships, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, sponsorships. But again, do we really want wrestling to get to that point? Do we want wrestling to get to a point where here's Kevin Owens and he's got a Pizza Hut shirt, and here is, Bronson Reed and he's got a Kentucky Fried Chicken on his trunks? Do you really want it to get to that point, or is it gonna hurt the business, Mike?
It could hurt the business, but if you've got Kevin Owens with a tiny Pizza Hut, if they're sponsoring him and is one of his Fight KO Fight shirts, if it's just in the corner of the shirt, now granted, you could see, multiple sponsorships from one guy, multiple sponsorships from a tag team. Let's take the New Day, because everybody knows New Day can sell a lot of product.
Yep.
Those are the two guys that if somebody wants to put something on their tights or on a T-shirt and have them wear that T-shirt, there you go,
But that's also going to cause all kinds of controversy, and I'll tell you why. Number one, the WWE is going to want a big part of that. They're going to say, hey, Kevin Owens, you're going to put that on your shirt and wear it on our show? Well, then we want 70% of it, or we want 50% of it, or whatever it happens to be. Then it's going to be with wrestlers saying, I don't want to be a heel because nobody's going to give me a sponsorship, because they're going to think the hatred for the fans to me is going to rub off on their product. And if I can't get a sponsorship and make that extra money, then how come they can do it? It's a slippery slope. It's a very slippery slope, and they got to be very careful. So far, if it's just going to be on the mat, it doesn't matter that much. But there are going to be people who resent the Logan Paul thing because they're going to say, hey, he's making extra money this way. Plus, then you've got another thing, and that is we said before how fans are so smart now they don't care. Here's your proof. Because if I was Prime Energy Drink, even if I was Logan Paul and I own part of it, if I was Prime Energy Drink, back in the old days, I'd say the last thing we want is any association with Logan Paul. They're booing you out of the building. If they're booing you out of the building, they sure as hell ain't going to buy a drink you're recommending. So it's going to hurt our product. It's not going to help it. This is the proof that wrestling that way is dead. They already know it's going to help the product. They already know all these fans that are booing Logan Paul, it doesn't matter. When they see Prime Energy drink, they're going to be like, oh, that's the one on WWE that Logan Paul had. I'm going to buy one. That's my proof, Mike, that it doesn't even matter anymore to the fans because they all know it's just a character.
Right. And whereas you go back into the history of wrestling and you would never see, like, Abdullah the Butcher or the Sheik or Scandal Akmar or and anybody like that, I mean, maybe you could have gotten away with it with, say, like a Ric Flair, because he's such a personality, you know, that, yeah, you could have gotten away with it with Ric Flair, you know, but having him, like, do Brooks Brothers suits or what, anything of that nature, right, you know, at the time. But other than that, but most of these heels at that time, you didn't want them to have a that type of personality. You didn't want them to be able to sell product. You wanted people to hate them.
See, that's such a good point, Mike. That is, you articulated it better than I did. That's exactly what I was trying to say. When it stopped becoming wrestling, you no longer really want them to hate them. Because if you did, you never would do this. You want people to like Logan Paul and buy his energy drink and make you a whole bunch of money, because that sponsorship means a lot of money to you. So it doesn't mean as much money to you if you boom out of the building and don't want to buy anything that he's associated with. Far from it. So you technically want people to not hate your bad guy. You technically want people to say, nudge, nudge, nod, nod, wink, wink. We know he's the bad guy. We're going to boom, but we like him. That would never have flown in old school wrestling. Not in a million years. Because they would have said, well, his sponsorship to this product is either A, going to hurt the product, or B, going to hurt his heel heat. And when you have to have Randy Orton come out and drink some of it and say, this is actually really good, you don't think that's a commercial? I mean, you said it perfectly, Mike. It's almost in direct. What's the right word for it? It's almost indirectly hurting them, because you're not going to get the heel heat when you're basically saying, we want more, we were going to make more money off of promoting the product of a wrestler or an endorsement of a product from a wrestler than they are getting them actual heat.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, I go back to, you know, Ric Flair, where he's talking about kiss stealing, wheeling dealing, jet flying, son of a gun, I wear all these fine suits and all that stuff. Well, when you think fine suits, you think like Brooks Brothers and all that stuff, right? And he could have done, at the time when he was doing all that stuff, as a heel, he could have done commercials for Brooks Brothers suits. You know, he could have done a commercial for Lear Jets. You know, he could have done that type of stuff, because it was, one, it would have fit his gimmick at the time, and two, it would have made a lot of money. But he chose not. Ric Flair chose not to.
Yeah, now he has Woo Energy Drink. So what happens? What happens now if Ric Flair wants to come back to the WWE and he says, "Well, I want you to promote Woo Energy Drink," and Logan Paul says, "Well, that's, you know, that I don't want that, because now my sponsorship for Prime, that's going to hurt my sponsorship for Prime. You can't do both. That's unfair to me." That, see how that works, Mike? It can be a mess.
So what happens if, when she comes back, Charlotte Flair walks to the ring carrying a Woo Energy Drink?
That's exactly right. I don't know. Or what happens if she gets in the ring and says something about Prime not being as good as – I don't know. I don't know. And that's why I'm not for this. That's why I'm not for it. I'll tell you what would happen if Kentucky Fried Chicken was sponsoring it and Kevin Owens came out and said it tastes like wallpaper paste. Kevin Owens would be fined. Kentucky Fried Chicken would pull their sponsorship, and they would never, ever give another dime to the WWE again. That's why you don't mix both. Logan Paul should have been told, look, If you want to be seen backstage with a Prime energy drink in your hand, we'll indulge that for a certain amount of money. Putting your sponsorship on the ring is probably not a good idea, because now faces are forced to be a part of that circus and say, well, this is really good. Because we can't let them come out and say it's terrible, or the other 75% ownership is going to be like, fuck you, we're pulling our sponsorship. I know Kevin Owens said something about it, but it was quickly covered up, and I'm sure he was told never say that again. When Logan Paul and Seth Rollins were really at each other's throats, even Seth Rollins during an interview was said, you mean to tell me I got to take a taste of Prime energy drink? I hate Logan Paul. I don't want to do this. And it wasn't even in a WWE event. It was in another event. And he even had to taste it and say, well, I hate to say it, but this is really good. Because he has to say it. I don't like that factor. I just don't. So I don't know. Again, here's another alternate source of making money that has nothing to do with the actual wrestling business as far as who you like and who you don't like, which is what Mike articulated very well. They have decided it's more important to take Prime Energy Drinks money than to get good heel heat for Logan Paul. And I think that's counterproductive to what wrestling is, Mike.
Right. And furthermore, let's stick to the Woo Energy Drink thing, okay? We know that the contract that he had with AEW was contingent on the fact that he was going to be there for Sting's final match. Well, Sting's already had his final match, so Ric Flair's probably a free agent. Now let's say that Charlotte says, I want him back, and I want him as my manager. You know, and he comes back and he says, and he brings Woo Energy Drink with him. And he said, I want Woo Energy Drink on the ring skirts or whatever. I want it on the mat. Who do you think they're going to go with? Are they going to go with a young upstart, or are they going to go with a Hall of Famer?
To be honest, they're going to go with Logan Paul, though, and I'll tell you why, because they've already signed the contract. See, that's the thing. I guarantee you in that contract, they said you can't promote another energy drink. If we give you this sponsorship, this is the official energy drink until the end of that sponsorship of the WWE. I guarantee they did that. Now, some places don't do that. Like, I've seen Pizza Hut and Domino's both advertised on WWE. So they both have a sponsorship. But I've never seen another candy bar other than Snickers. So Snickers must have the exclusive candy bar. Whereas Pizza Hut and Domino's did not sign that kind of a contract. So I don't know. I'm not privy to what contract they signed, but I got a feeling that it's going to be exclusive. Much like when Dana White said he's going to put the Bud Light back on the thing. You know, you're not going to get another beer until that contract is up. You're not going to see another beer ad. So, again, now we have revenue from television stations. We have revenue from ads, direct ads. See, it used to be it was the fans. The fans were the whole revenue. Then it became, well, the TV's the revenue, and the TV makes money off the sponsors. Now it's the TV. We make money off the TV, and we even make money off the sponsors because we're going to run ads literally on the ring aprons and on the ring mats, and we're going to have backstage segments with people having a Pizza Hut pizza, and we'll make direct money there. That's not the TV station making money. TV station's not getting no money from that. WWE's getting money from that. So now that they have such an enormous amount of ways to make big, big money, it would almost be like if I had a lemonade stand, and I said, well, I make my living selling lemonade. I sell it for $1.50, and I sell 1,000 a day. So I'm making, you know, $1,500 a day here. And thirsty people are how I put food on my table. And somebody says to me, well, listen, if you can come up with 500 gallons of it a day, I'll give you so much money, and you can keep your lemonade stand. It's irrelevant whether I sell any. I've already made all my money. Anything else is just icing on the cake, but I've already made my money in my lemonade business. I don't need you to stop your car and get a lemonade. If you do, fine. If you don't, fine. I'm still fine. That's the problem now, Mike. Fans are irrelevant at this point. If you want to pay to see the show, fine. You don't want to pay to see the show, fine. It doesn't matter because they've got their money from alternate sources.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. I mean, I'll give you another example. I can't remember any other fried chicken but Kentucky Fried Chicken being WWE. Okay? I can't remember it. Not Popeyes, not Kenny Rogers, not churches, not anything. You know, I can't remember that. Back then, way back when, I can't remember any other sort of muscle building. I guess it was muscle building, but Stacker too.
Oh yeah,
you
the
know?
Stackers, absolutely. Yeah, Stackers 2 was a big one. I just the other day, I was looking at some wrestling magazines, and there was Triple H advertising Stackers. That's fine in your magazine or whatever, and it's even fine on your TV show. I'm just saying when it starts to become that wrestlers now have outside interests and they're all going to want to start promoting their own outside interests, I don't know how that's going to work, Mike. It could work negatively.
It could work negatively, and look, we don't know how long. I mean, I'm assuming that this new contract that he has with the company is a long-term deal. That Logan Paul has with the company is a long-term deal. I'm just assuming that, or a semi-long-term deal, you know. And within that contract is this writer. This clause that says you're going to promote my energy drink, right? And if you don't,
right,
then this contract is null and void. You know, I just assume.
See, I'm not privy to the contract, but I'm guessing that it's I'm guessing it's an exclusive deal. It was probably for a lot of money, and here we go. Here we go with more ways to make money that doesn't involve anything really to do with the fans. And I just think that's bad for wrestling because it makes it that you really don't have to try that hard. Well, we'll do what we do. The fans like it, fine. If they don't like it, fine. That's not how we put food on our table anymore. And that's how it used to be, and that's why wrestling used to be great, and now it's oftentimes mediocre. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll be back here on Tuesday with the Monday Night Raw Report. You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.